accession number 20390, reel 5.
Accession number 50.
Yes.
Mr. Karupaya.
Yes.
Rear 5. Yes. You said Chandra Bose visited Tokyo.
Oh.
And from the documents you showed to me, there were two letters written by Chandra Bose.
That's right.
Why did he write his letter in English instead of any of the Indian language?
Because at that time, most of the Indians in Southeast Asia, they were well versed in English. But sometimes he used to address in Hindi, especially in the Southeast Asia in certain meetings. And first he used to address in Hindi, and that was translated in Tamil. And then mostly he addressed the meetings in English, because most of them understood English at that time.
So could I say English was the common language among the Indians?
Among the Indians at that time, right.
Mm-hmm. And how did you address the Chandra Bose?
I used to say Nedaji. Nedaji means leader. But certainly sometimes we used to address Nedaji only, mostly.
What's that mean?
Nedaji means leader, our leader. All in all.
Then Natajun?
Nedaji. Oh. Nedaji. N-E-T-A-G-I, Nedaji. Almost all of them addressed him as Nedaji. Considered to be the leader, number one. At that time, you know, most of the Indians here, they knew English. But certain meetings he also addressed in Hindi, and also that was translated by Tamil. One Mr. M.K. Chidambaram was here. He was the man who used to translate. Later on, one Gani from Burma. And if, after that, he was an editor for this Muslim paper, you know. There was an Muslim riot. Have you heard of that? That name, the girl who was Dutch girl. What was her name? I've forgotten. There was a big riot here. He was expelled for because of that incident, you know. He used to translate. Translation was very good. Better than M.K. Chidambaram. Gang on Gani. But later on, he turned to be against Nedaji.
You say gangster?
He turned against Nedaji.
Oh.
The last moment. He betrayed. Not gangster. He was, he was the most responsible for the riot, you know, here at that time. What was the name? I forgot, you know. Maria Gill. Right. And he was the editor for that, you know, in the United Commercial Bank now. Formerly it was owned by a Muslim organization. There was a newspaper, you know, I can't remember the name of the paper. What was the, can you remember? Muslim, he was the chief editor. His Tamil translation was, I should say, best during the wartime. Most of the meetings at the last moment, he used to translate in Tamil. Nedaji's translation.
And during our last session, you told us about the surrender in Japan.
That's right.
And could you describe how were you taken as a POW after the surrender?
See, after the surrender, when Japan surrendered, they disbanded us. They asked us to leave the camp. And from now, the camp which we had the training, at present, it is occupied by the U.S. forces. And as soon as MacArthur landed in Tokyo, he wanted to occupy the place. So we were asked to go to another place. And that place was called a boys' brigade place. The Japanese trained the small boys. There, they kept us for a few days only in a small camp. At that time only, we heard the tragic news of Nedaji's death. And from there, they asked us to leave. And then Mr. A.M. Sake, one of the minister of INA, his family is putting up in Tokyo. They arranged a place for us to stay in Japan until we were repatriated from Japan. And then, while we were there, when we were in the boys' brigade camp, we heard that tragic news.
What was your response to that?
Oh, we were really, we didn't know what we used to do, and we didn't take food, we shed tears, all of them. We all became mad when we heard the news. And all were shed tears and crying, they were yelling. Even now I feel. When I remember that, I feel sorry, you know. And then, after that, you know, while we were putting up in that place, and, you know, Habibul Rahman was traveling with Nedaji, and few Japanese generals was also in the same plane, you know. And while we were putting up there, because we had the money from Indian Independence League in Tokyo, so they helped us. And A.C. Iyer was our propaganda minister. He also came to Tokyo a few days later. He was supposed to travel in the same plane, but there was no seat in the plane. So he was asked to come the next plane. Actually, Colonel Habibul Rahman was the only Indian officer who traveled along the same plane. And the tragedy took place in Formosa. And a few days later, Habibul Rahman was waiting in one of the railway stations. One of our colleagues, while he was passing the railway station, accidentally saw him standing there. You know, these Japanese trains are all automatic doors, you know. When they close automatic, even pre-war days. And when he saw Habibul Rahman, he jumped out. And then he went and bowed, I saluted him. And he asked me, one Gandhi Das, he has passed away now. And he asked me, why you are standing here? I said, I was asked to come here, and I don't know the place we are all putting up, that's why I'm standing here. And then he brought us to our place. And he was putting up in A.M. Sage's family. And also his hair here. They took another house, separate house, they were putting up separately. And he was the one who traveled along with Nedaji in the same plane. And a few days later, we received the ashes from the Ministry of War, supposed to be Nedaji's ashes.
Why did you say supposed to be?
Because we didn't see personally. Understand, we didn't see his death personally. And later on, when Habibul Rahman joined with us, we saw his hands, it was burned a bit here, and both the hands were burned, and his face also was burned a bit. We called a Japanese doctor and asked him to get it treated. That's all we knew. And I see, A.C. Iyer was there. We told A.C. Iyer that we would like to know about the full details of Nedaji's death. So he said, A.C. Iyer told us, let his wounds cure up, then I will bring Habibul Rahman to you, then you can ask questions. So one evening, we arranged for a meeting. He came to our place. He's only nearby, only from his place to our place, about 3-4 furlongs only, not very far. So we asked him how the tragedy took place. So he started to tell us how, you'd see, while the plane was taking up, he said the propeller broke and fell down, and caught fire. It seems Nedaji was sitting at the side of the oil tank. The oil tank exploded. Oil spilled all over his body. His body got fire and burned and died. That's what his version. We asked him, why don't you bring the dead body to Japan instead of cremating in, they are cremated in the Formosa itself. What he said, you know, he said, I tried my level best to get a bomber. Because he was a tall, hefty man, you know. But if I'm not mistaken, he's as tall as myself, hefty man. He said, first, after putting it in his body, the coffin, he said, I tried to get a bomber to insert the coffin to bring it down to Tokyo. See, we were not able to put inside the bomber, he said. But he made a mistake, you know, because while we were studying in the military academy, they taught us the measurements of the bomber, fighter, everything. We knew that. Had we not joined the military academy, we won't know anything. We argued with him. I said, the bomber's length and breadth is so much. You can put the coffin easily inside the bomber and bring it down here. We would have had a grand ceremony here. And what he said, you know, when he argued on this matter, he banged on the table like this. Boys, don't ask me anymore. Leave it as I am. I'm not prepared to tell you anymore. For God's sake, leave it. Don't ask me anymore. So that was the end. That's why we didn't believe, actually. We didn't see his body. Only we received the ashes from the war ministry, which was given to us, saying that Netaji's ashes burned. That's all. Burns. That's why I use supposed. Had we seen the body, means I would have stressed the Netaji's ashes. And we kept it in A.M. Sahe's house for a few days. And we were boys in the turn, one after the other. We watched that for a few days. While we were taking the ice sentry, and we heard the news. One of our colleague, Filipino colleague from Philippines, you know, he was with us in the academy. And when the American forces occupied Tokyo, he worked as an interpreter for the American forces. So he was employed as an interpreter. Being our friend, he sneaked the news to us. My friends, there's some move here to confiscate the Netaji's assets from you. See that you get rid of it or remove it from A. Savi's house. Confidential news. He phoned up to us. And then immediately, we went and told Mr. ACIA that now MacArthur's office, SS group, is trying to confiscate Netaji's assets. We must do something. So immediately he consulted Abibul Rahman, A.M. Sahe's family and a few others. And he said, a few of us were asked to take the ashes to the shrine. The shrine's name, I think, is you can find in one of the books. Then we went in. In the evening, we took the ashes to the shrine. And few Japanese generals also present, not all, a handful of them. And we did the final funeral ceremony according to the Buddhist way, the Japanese way. And still it's lying now. And now we are trying to bring it back to India. That was the position.
Why did you have to take turn to look after the ashes?
Because normally, in Japanese custom, the ashes, you know, we must see somebody because we thought somebody might come and take it away. Because his ashes are so important. So we took turn to watch the ashes one after. You see, each of us took 4 hours duty or 4 or 5 hours duty because we had 45 of us. So we changed our duties to watch the ashes until we took it and left it in the shrine. Still in the shrine now. You have got the name here.
And what happened to all of you later on?
Later on. See, some of us approached, and a few of us, you know, and myself, another three. We actually, from there, we wanted to go to America. So we fixed up an appointment with MacArthur. We approached his help, and you see, he received us. Well, he gave us drinks, he gave us cigarettes, and we never expected that he would receive us so well, you know. It was really astonishing, you know, he was our enemy. We were their enemies. He's really a perfect gentleman. Commander in chief for the Allied Forces of the East, Far East Asia. He received it. He asked his boys, what are you here for? Can I do anything for you? Yes. We were here and we were in the INA. We came here to fight for the independence of India. And now we are now standard. And we don't like to go back to India. We want to go back to America. Could you please kindly arrange to send us to America, and we want to come settle in America itself. And he said, boys, anyway, I shall try to do my best, but as India is under British now, one Mr. Colonel Figgis, is in charge. So for formality's sake, you must get his permission first before I could help you to send you to America. Immediately call one Major General. If the boys were to come next time with the permission of Colonel Figgis, see that he will make all their arrangements, send them to America. He gave orders. And he said, yes, sir. So we were very pleased. And then we came back, and then we tried to meet the British Colonel Figgis. So we went and told him that we would like to go to America. Could you please kindly allow us to go to America? He immediately, what he said, you know, without saying yes or no, he took out a pistol from his waist. Okay, you'll get this. You all must get back to India, not America, he said. So we kept quiet and we came back.
Why did you want to go to America and didn't want to go to India at that time?
At that time, you know, we were so young. India was under British. We didn't like the British at all. So if we go to America, we can do something. What, you know, Netaji had a high ambition on us. He said, even if I were to die, boys, I want you all to carry on for the independence of India. That's why we thought, by going to America, we can do something to help to achieve independence. That was our motive. That's why we...
But what about the IIL leaders in Tokyo?
Tokyo,
did you consult them?
No, we didn't consult much because ACIA was there. He was our propaganda minister. He was the senior most man. We consulted him. Regarding what?
Regarding going to America.
No, we didn't consult him. He wanted, you know, before Netaji's death, it seems like he told Habibur Rahman, see that you send this Tokyo cadets immediately to India. That was his orders. That's what he told us. Whether it was true or not, nobody knows.
Who told who to send you to India?
Netaji means Subhash Chandra Bose. Because the boys are very young and their parents are scattered all over East Asia. They'll be worrying about their children. See, then you send them back to their respective places. Understand, there was order. And this was related to ACIA. ACIA was the most senior, most man was in Tokyo at that time. He was a propaganda minister, a highly respected person, intellectual. So we didn't consult him. Had we consulted him, he would have refused. So we went on our own, actually.
When you say we, there were how many of you?
About five. Five of them, five of us. We were all together 45. Out of 45, we were means five.
What about the other 40?
The others were all, they had their own plans, Once it was suspended, all were separate. They had their own ideas.
And since your proposal to go to America was rejected by this British colonel, then what was your next plan?
Next? Oh, after that only we had hell, you know. So we was handed to American forces. So it was back to India. And, you know, again we were asked to go out and stay in the place where we had the training. That is, after the war, that place was occupied by American forces. So we went and stayed there nearly for 10 days together with the American forces to be repatriated to India. But they treated us equally. They gave us the same food, same clothing, same facility, everything, you know, discrimination. We never expected they would provide us like that. We used to argue. They were saying, this is democracy. You can say whatever you like. Boys, once we also fought against the British like you. But anyway, we appreciate your spirit at this age to fight against the British for your independence. They were quite liberal to us, you know. And we were there nearly for 2 weeks, you know, if I'm not mistaken, together with the American forces. There was no discrimination. They treated us, they gave us their uniforms to wear. Really, I should appreciate them, you know. They are very broad-minded when compared to British. And then we were repatriated from Tokyo to Okinawa, Okinawa to Philippines. Actually, the person who arranged the transport did not inform us the destination in Philippines.
Philippines.
In Philippines. And then, you know, on our way, one or two of us at Okinawa, the plane. And we landed in Philippines. Actually, the trouble started from there. See, as soon as we reached Philippine airport, the American office in charge of the counter asked us, where are we all from? And we told them that we were Indians. We were recruited by boss and sent to Japan for training. We are now back on our way to India. And he asked us, did they tell you where to go and stay in Philippines? I said, we don't know. They didn't tell us at the airport. They might have informed you. I'm sure you may have received the message. He said, we went and checked. He said, we have not received any message from Tokyo. Anyway, here we have got some British officers here. Actually, they are your masters now. As being India is under them. So, he said, you have to go to them. So immediately phoned up, and the few British trucks came, they picked us up. From there, the trouble started. Once, the sooner we landed at the camp, they treated us very badly. Oh, hell, actually. They didn't like us, they scolded us, and they didn't give us proper food, they didn't give us anything, and we had a hell there. And we didn't have even 1 cent also with us. And we were putting up a few days under them. And they gave us hell, you know, a lot of atrocities. And why myself, another friend of mine, Annamalai, now he's in South India now, he's doing his business. We both of us escaped from the camp without informing to the Britishers. We went to Manila town. And both of us. And we went and saw a Sindhi Merchants Association's president in Manila. And he was really a very kind man. We went and told him about our plight. And 45 of us are here, standing here. The Britishers are treating us very badly, treating us, and they are not giving us proper food. We don't have even a single cent to buy a cigarette. Could you please kindly help us do something? He immediately took out 500 pesos at us. From his own pocket. Come on, take this, 500 pesos. You distribute among the boys and you spend the amount. And if you find any difficulty, and if you were to stay here longer, you come and see me again. I will consult the committee here and see that you get more money. And on our way back to the camp, Domehi Yamashita style was going on in Philippines at the court. So we went and saw for a few minutes, we went and saw at the gallery for a few. We sat down for a gallery. We were standing in front of the judge. We saw only for a few minutes only because we had to come back. So afterwards, we came back to the camp without knowing to the British officers. And then from there, they took us to one aircraft carrier from Philippines, sent us to Hong Kong. In Hong Kong, on the way inside, they put us at the bottom of the steamer, aircraft carrier. Really, we suffered a lot. While we were about to board the steamer, the soldiers on the top, they spit on us. They threw cigarette butts, burned cigarettes, burned us. They did all sorts of rubbish on us while we were on the boat. They gave us hell. And even, you know, cigarette butts, you know, burned our shirts and our bodies all. And then they put us at the bottom of the steamer, and like black hole of Calcutta, they didn't give us proper food. And from Manila to Hong Kong, I think through his journey. From there in Hong Kong, they put us Stanley Prison. Hong Kong Stanley Prison. Hong Kong Stanley Prison. Stanley Prison in Hong Kong. Stanley Prison, we were put there as a prisoner of war. And there were a lot of Japanese also there. And they gave us a hell. They made us to run in the morning. I mean, 1 or 2 hours around the jail. And the food was so bad. And they gave us a dried fish, you know, with the insects on it. And whenever we used to take, we used to close our eyes and swallow the fish. If you see them, it will vomit. It was such a food. Can't help it. And then, after the warden, sir, there was one warden from Irish warden. He used to, among, there were few wardens, and one man, exceptional warden, you know, Irish warden, he used to give us one packet of cigarettes every day without knowing to the senior officers, and we used to share one cigarette, we used to share 5 or 6%. We just pass one, there, until we finish up to the end. Understand? So, they gave us hell, and while we were there, we were planning to do escape from the jail to China. At that time, we were not afraid of dying. We were prepared for any eventualities. Our motto, India, independence, nothing else. And at that time, while we were in the jail, they were British Indian officers from SS group.
From what?
SS, Secret Service. Intelligence group, you know, they call, you can call it. Intelligence group. Razor group. They're British Indian officers. One man supposed to be very intellectual. He came to us. And he made friendly with us. He was trying to find out the cause of Netaji's death. Very diplomatically. We came to know that he's a lackey of British. And we immediately passed a message to all of us, all our friends in Japanese. Kareva dante dekara minna chuch teokira saito. We passed a message around. Within 1 second, the message went round. So we refused to oblige to his questions. And then, when we were opening up in Stanley Prison,